Hello, hello there, outliers. It's amazing to spend time with you. Nyama Xiong here, and thank you so much for letting me be a part of your journey. We're here on the Outliers Edge podcast, where we really champion the leaders who are shaping the next era of humanity by helping them leverage what makes them different to make their biggest difference in the world. It's fun because if you listen to these episodes over time, you'll notice that as I say that, it becomes more and more real. It gets more and more into the body. And I think it's because I get to spend more time with people who are doing their thing out in the world, and making and just like having fun along the way. And today, I get to be with someone who has like exemplifies that for me. Aaron, I'll like well, let me let you know. I'm spending time with an amazing outlier, Aaron Patchell. Aaron, it's an amazing time to spend time with you. Thank you so much for making time for this conversation.
Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah. What I'd like to do as we get into the space is just to let you know like how you've shown up differently for me. Right now I'm in a very much the world of difference like season, leading the world of difference movement. And I want to play it out. I want to see like what does it actually look like to look at there. So Aaron, how you show up differently for me compared to like when I think about the people in my world, is that like you bring, and let me just I don't know what I'm gonna say before I say it. I just know I'm going to say it. So the reality is with you is that like I have always felt like A, good hands, B, have like lived a lot of life. And like and it almost feels like nothing can really like throw you for a loop, right? And as things are going, like the world might be crashing down around you, but you're gonna have like that smile on, like you're gonna like you're able to take it all in stride and find a way for it to like find a way for it to navigate it through in a way that doesn't have to be painful, even if it's like difficult, you know, if there's a lot going on. There are things that I've brought into our conversations, or there's things that like even just getting into this space, I was like, oh, I have like three or four more things to do. And every single part of you wasn't just like it was okay and let it go, but there was a certain quality that you bring in where it's just like I can't put my finger on it other than saying like I feel like you've just really lived life and like you're like nothing at this point. Like I can be with everything and be with it with a smile on my face. So that's how you show up differently to me, even this far in our conversations here. I appreciate you. I really appreciate you. And I'm looking forward to wherever this conversation goes. I don't have an agenda like that, so wherever this goes, I'm down for it. That being said, that's who you've shown up for me as in this moment. I'd be curious for you. Would you mind sharing a bit about who you are? The way I like to look at it is like personally, and then like in terms of your mission, like how are you bringing like your mission out to life?
Thanks so much. I really appreciate that. I do feel like there's a certain quality of it's all good, you know, and it really is. And I do feel that in deep inside of me. And I just want to say before I say anything about myself, that the way that you show up for me is this great big ball of energy, this great big beautiful sun. So that's what I see, you know, when we're together. I see this energetic driver.
I gotta just say really quickly, thank you for that. 'Cause you, one of the things I look at whenever I am feeling low on energy is like, I'm used to giving energy, you know? So when you talk about the sun, that actually feels like, one, it feels like I'm like more in my zone of genius, if that makes sense. Someone asked me the other day, like, what's your zone of genius? And I was just trying to say, oh, I do this, I do that. But what came to me is like, I be energy. You know, like if I'm in a place where I am able to exude energy and other people can use it, I have more than enough, then we're in great place. So let me just say that it means more to me than it may on any other day, especially on a day where I felt like, especially at a time where I'm feeling there's clouds around, for you to be like, hey son, still see you. It actually like really shines through. So I appreciate you. Thank you for that lectionary.
Oh, absolutely. It's the truth. Who am I? So I consider myself a professional problem solver. I've done a lot of things. I became a mom at the age of 21. I had three kids by the age of 25. Sort of dipped my toes into figuring out who I wanted to be when I was 30. And now that I'm 40, just turned 40, I think that I know who I want to be when I grow up. or at least what kind of world I want to live in. And I think that's maybe the most important thing. So, and how I can contribute most importantly to generating that world. Yeah.
Well, can we go from there? Because like we're all about making a world of difference or shaping a world of difference, right? So when you say that you can see the world and you're actually working to generate it, I would love to find out more about that. Can you share with us about the world that you are generating right now?
Absolutely. You know, they say that leadership starts with you, right? I'm sure that you've heard that, and that we're ultimately the master of our own universe, and we are in control. And a lot of the time it does not feel that way. But it's been a long journey, and I'm still not even remotely done. Like, I'm still in the middle of this sort of generating, conceptualizing phase. But what I know is that in myself right now, in my own body, the work that I'm doing, the people that I'm meeting, anything, you know, when you said like you feel like kind of like that stability, that's how I feel. And I want to bring that sense of stability, that sense of like wholeness to other people. And I do think that that's what I'm doing. It's just starting with curiosity, right? I think we talked about curiosity a few times in our previous conversation. It really does start with curiosity and starting to think, you know, outside of yourself and starting to detangle, who am I? Who am I relative to the people around me? Who am I relative to the world, right? And then becoming really, really confident in who I am, that I am whole and I don't need to change anyone. You know, I don't need to force change on anything. I can just let it flow. And, you know, if I can ask the right questions, or, you know, if I can see into the right opportunities, and then, you know, capture those moments and really live in those moments. And then continue to build slowly, slowly build over time, and realizing how much time we really have on this planet. You know, we don't have infinite time on this planet, obviously, but we have a lot more time than we think we have. You know, so really, you know, understanding how we can use time to our advantage. These are the things that I think about. And I think, you know, we obviously do this in a more practical way. I'm talking very philosophically kind of right now, but the way that we work is in a very practical sort of solutions focused way to support people and organizations in, you know, taking this journey, starting and then moving step by step onto this journey.
Well, thanks for that, Erin. And if you're good with it for a little while longer, I like to stay in that philosophical way. Like,
yeah, and, for sure.
Yeah. And like the reason for this is twofold. Normally I'm like, I want to hear about like what you've done, right? That's normally where I'll go. I'm like let's go and like let's make it about you and through your experience. But I actually hear that this is you, you know. This is like this vision that you have, the things that you were saying, like that is you. Yes, one, and then two, there was like an energetic shift when you're like, okay, and like practically this is how we get it done, you know. But I was like when you were talking about like what could be and what it is that you stand for and such, like your everything was in an uplifting kind of motion with you. And so honestly, I like part of my secret sauce with each of these conversations is I just follow where the energy actually is, you know, and that feels like really fun energy. I love to also too, I think that so many outliers out there listening to this have something that they are still forming. And yeah. I'm deeply appreciative of you in this moment for a completely different reason than the others. The last time I said I was appreciative. And that's because you came here while it's still forming and you chose to articulate it while it's still forming. And there's parts of this that I'd like to like go back into, ask you different questions around. You talked about time. I would love to have a conversation around time. So I'm keeping note of that. But if we can start off with, firstly, just that component of like being good to talk about something that is still generating, still being emerged, rather than like the end state and being able to look at it confidently and say, I figured it all out right here. Can you speak to that and like your experience of that, even in this moment, if it's relevant?
Oh, it's relevant, I think, to everyone. And I think that's actually the mindset that unlocks, the confidence that I have within myself and the people who I know who have, similar mindsets, the similar type of confidence that they have is, you know that you don't know. You know that, there's infinite numbers of things that we don't know, that I don't know and that I may never know. I mean, I'd like to know everything, but that's not gonna happen.
And then I ask myself, like, if you did, wouldn't life actually be fun? It's like, oh, I know what's
No,
going to
it's
happen
like,
next.
do you remember that? Did you watch the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, the Indiana Jones movie with
I
the
haven't, but
what's
tell
her
me
name?
more.
Okay, so there's a character in that movie, and she's, I think, like a Russian, of course. And she just wants to know, and then she gets sucked away by aliens because she has to know everything. Anyways, you've got to watch, go and watch that because that's what I think about when people say, I want to know everything. I think of that scene where she gets sucked away by aliens. The reality is like we are all, mutable, we're unformed, we're imperfect, and that's exactly how we're supposed to be, I think. We're learning machines is what we are. And when we stop learning, I think that's when we start becoming extremely conflicted. And so we're starting to talk a little bit about the growth mindset, versus fixed mindset, the Carol Dweck, if anyone's familiar with Carol Dweck's work. And if you're not, highly recommend her work, because it's phenomenal. But really thinking about, how do we create flow? And also there's an element of vulnerability, there's an element of forgiveness, there's an element of courage, right? Forgiving ourselves for not knowing, having to dismantle the things that we thought we knew that we were taught possibly, right? Rebuilding ourselves in our own image, but really like an image that's not fully formed. And so we're talking about, it does create sort of an identity crisis. It's like, if you don't know who are you? I'll just stop there and let you.
I'm taking that one in because I hear that one a little bit like if a tree falls in the woods, you know. Also I'm a bit of a math guy, so I like math riddles where they'd be like, well, if you have to go like if you have to if every to get somewhere, if you go halfway through the distance, how do you ever go anywhere? So I like so if you don't know who you are, who are you? I like it, like I like that element. I like let's play with that outline. Let that one percolate for you here. Aaron, you brought up a lot of different things. You brought up things around courage and shame and like and such. And I think I love for us to like make that real, right? Yeah. So like tell me about a time, and this might be a time where you stopped learning or like I want to just like take one of the concepts that you just brought in for like the world that you see or like some of the challenges we face, and bring us to a time where you yourself like face a challenge or face a failure because you like didn't like honor that. Can you take us to a moment of that for you?
I mean, I didn't even know that like something like a open growth mindset existed until, probably just a few years ago. Even, probably like 7 or 8 years ago was when this sort of started to really unlock for me.
I ask, did
And
you
I would
feel
have
like
been.
based on your definitions of it, based on or Caro's de definitions, do you feel like you were in like a fixed mindset by that time, or did you feel like you had the growth mindset, but you just didn't know what it was? And maybe we can illuminate on what those two topics mean for you. It doesn't have to be Caro's definition, but your interpretation of Caro's definition. We'll try and do our best to give
Sure.
do credit to that.
For sure. Yeah. So I mean, growth mindset is, the ability to accept feedback, to learn, to, be comfortable with imperfection, with be comfortable with, a less than perfect solution potentially, and then demonstrating that and then learning it via feedback. A general openness. And I think that like no one's like fully fixed or fully growth mindset. I think there's like certain lanes where we're more fixed and more, in a growth mindset, certain areas of our lives. But I mean, when I was When I was probably 32, I was working in a career and leadership coding company. And that, I was starting to take some coaching and get fully immersed in that environment, and then and learning to fail. And that was the biggest thing for me was, I had never really let myself fail before. When I grew up, I had like I was very, very shy. It was technically probably I would never officially diagnosed, but it would have been very likely diagnosed as selective mutism today, where I just didn't talk outside of my comfort areas, my like, my safe areas. And so I had a whole lot of fear inside me, right? And that fear was what created the in I believe my kind of fixed mindset. I was afraid of being imperfect. I was afraid of and at the same time failing, I felt feeling like I was failing at everything, right? Because I was so stuck.
Yeah, so tell me a little bit here. So I wanted to so you had that point here. We're the fear is there. You're this is like you said, if I'm getting you right, this was like at age 32 still, right? There's still some elements of this showing up then, or like not the mutism, but like the so just let me see,
It
like
was a
I kind of
progression. It was an
yeah.
evolution, right? So, young child won't talk, highly
Yep.
anxious. I met my first best friend when I was like 10 years old, and she just like grabbed me and she was like, "You're my project. Like, you're going everywhere with me now." She wouldn't let me go. And she wouldn't let me get away with anything either. So, like I think I was more afraid of her than I was of not talking, or of talking rather. So, anyways, I started opening up, and then I started meeting a couple of people. I met my husband when I was like my current husband when I was 18, and he opened up more because he wasn't afraid of my when I would say something silly or if I failed. It was interesting to be with someone who didn't it didn't bother them. He was like bomb proof, like nothing fazed him. So if I was like emotional or whatever situation I might be have previously, felt really terrible or shameful about, didn't faze him at all. And he doesn't even realize, like I talked to him about this. He has no idea he was doing this. He was like, basically, taking the situation and like making it turn, basically taking my brain and turning it inside out. And then I met a series of other people. So for me, the transformation happened gradually, a building over time, but it was always people who were the catalyst for change, right? It was always like there was someone that I met who I was able to learn from and who was, for some reason, just stuck with me. And I was resilient enough to stick with them and gritty enough to stick with them. And so the people are always the catalysts for change. At least that's been my experience. And then at 20, 32, same thing, same thing. People are the catalysts for change. And then on and on we go.
So I'm going to bring in a couple different things here that I love outliers to play with. One of them, Aaron, is what you just brought up here is like, and on we go, like where you found like at the core, where you're like, people are the catalyst for change. And outliers, I'm like, I'm going to invite you here because as we went through this journey with you, those you were able to bring to us some of like what you saw as the recurring themes. And I think outliers, we have our own versions of our recurring themes, like almost like the way things tend to play out. For me, when I go into a new environment, I actually like think I'm coming in really, really great. And then it takes me about like 2 years to realize that I was just like ignoring reality. Like this was me in college, like, and it's like I came out, I was like, oh, my GPA is not going to get me into anything, and then I had like another 2 years of being like, oh, I'll just actually do the work. And then I got like, whatever comes along, whatever I'd scored well on the tests and such afterward. But like, I was just playing this out the other day, and I can count like five or six different instances in like years of my life where it was like first 2 years, one thing, next 2 years, this. So as I'm hearing you talk about people as the catalyst and being able to play that out, it makes me wonder here, and I'm going to invite any outlier here to just pause and think about it. What is the recurring pattern of your world? What's the recurring pattern of change in your world? And I find people to also be a really big part of it, but I'll see my processes like those 2 years, and then somewhere along the line I learned that I knew nothing at all. So that's one thing that, like, when you talk about it, really shines out to me. There was something else you said I just want to just like shine a light on here as well, which was, you said, I think I was more afraid of her talking about your best friend at 10 years old than you were of talking. And I thought that was really great, because, like, oftentimes we'll get into, sorry, let me take this out of the we context. Oftentimes I'll get into the place of having a client, and they come in with some kind of fear, and like my thoughts are, okay, how do we help mitigate this fear? You know, how do we help reduce this fear? How do we help you make, nowadays I don't really go for fearless, but I'm like, how can you be with the fear? What does it like show you and such? But there was something about you said, what you said, that I'm like, I think I might just like start playing with this. Well, like, what's a better fear? You know, like what's something that you would actually be so afraid of that makes this thing feel almost irrelevant, like, or it's like worth taking on because that thing is actually worth it.
Absolutely. Yeah, you've hit that absolutely on the head. And that's actually something that's been a recurring pattern in my life. I just keep, you know, if you keep one-upping yourself, there's a great book called 10X is Easier Than 2X. Who's it by?
Is it
I
Dan
can't
Sullivan?
remember. Nope, not Dan Sullivan. We're gonna Google it. You're Googling it right now.
Yeah,
Yeah.
I'm like, now that I brought in a different name, I have to like have to give justice where it belongs.
Yes, and it's the idea that
Benjamin
creating
Hardy and Dan
something.
Sullivan. 10X is easier than 2X. How world-class entrepreneurs achieve more by doing less, by Benjamin Hardy and Dan Sullivan.
Is it?
Yeah. But
Oh, you're
it's
kidding.
like, but like, it's like how Dan Sullivan, I haven't read it yet, but I believe it's like how Dan Sullivan's the reason I decided to write a book, because he's like, how I wrote a book in a quarter, or how, like,
It
and
is
he's
Dan
like,
Sullivan. Oh, look at
yeah,
that.
but
I just read
it's like
it
his
in January and
ideas.
I don't even know the author anymore. Yeah.
But it's cool because he's the author but not the writer, right? Like, it's like his
Okay.
ideas, my understanding, and I haven't read this, but like what I understand about the way he's writing books now is like he follows that who not how approach, where he's like, who can I partner with? Who can write this book for me? Great. Let's have the conversations. These are going to be my ideas, or at least my ideas are going to be at the foundation of it, but you go and build the actual skyscraper from it, you know? And so it's a cool combo. Continue though, because it was on my
So
list. I
you
was like, should I watch it? Should I read it or not? So now
it's
I'm
a good
in.
book. Yeah, I would read it. I mean, read all the books, right? But 10X is easier than 2X. I think the main premise of the book is having a goal that is so it's like exponentially bigger than your regular goal creates the constraints that you need in order to have the focus that you need to achieve the goal, right? Whereas like incremental improvement, it's really a lot more difficult in some ways, because you're just trying to reduce friction in an already possibly low friction process, right?
Yeah, there's it's like I realized that my physical like demeanor shifted as I like actually heard what you were saying about like what you were taking from it. I had a conversation just earlier today, kind of on the same amount. I was like, I wanted to like make a certain amount of money in my business, and it wasn't like a large astronomical number, right? And I was talking to this person. I was like, but the challenge is, and like you know how this, like, you have to find someone that you can actually bring a problem to that can actually work. I was like, the challenge is that, like, because the number isn't that big, like my experience of life has like been on like large organizational type of things, like it's not an easy number for me to just figure out how to get done, even though at the same time I recognize that it's simple. So when in this context, when you say 10x is easier than 2x, I was literally having this conversation, I'm like, give me a 100K problem, I can solve it, you know? You get like I like and I can also implement on it, you know? But you give me a 10K problem, and it's like, I can solve it, but I'm not the person to actually go implement it, because it's just like, it's a lot harder to actually take out constraints for that.
Totally. For sure. And I'm going through this as well. Like we've got a couple projects on the table. One of them's called the Train to Help Project, traintohelp.com. And this is a 10X, right? Traintohelp.com is a 10X. It's a totally new solution built on our existing, ethos and with our existing skill set. But it's something totally different from what we've done before, and yet also gets us to our goals faster in terms of how we want to impact the world, right? So, it's interesting. It's interesting the idea that you can put similar amount of energy into a smaller goal or make a much bigger impact just by kind of raising the bar and thinking, more broadly and expansively.
All right. Yeah. Outliers. We gotta take a pause and just give ourselves a chance here to think about. I'm gonna invite you to think about like the biggest problem you're facing right now, or the one that's been the thorn underneath your skin, you know, that you're just like, I just can't wait for this to get done. And ask yourself, is this a 10x problem or is this a 2x problem? And if it was a 2x problem, what would it be like? What would the problem be that would be 5 times bigger, you know? That would make this that much easier to do, almost like step one as opposed to the whole entire process. Give yourself that gift and see what happens when you shift your perspective, or at least look at it from a different perspective. It's not to say that any problem is any absolutely like it's no absolute value to any problem. It's not that, but it's the element of being able to play this on a relative scale just to give you some perspective and potentially some more, if not clarity. That at least like, you know, there's another element, there's some more energy, some more oomph, whatever it is to help you move through what you're doing right now. But it just felt it felt like too important of an idea to play with. Because all we're really trying to do is just like help people see things from different perspectives. These are outliers. They're like they're questioners. They're like they're going to listen to what for what is it that like how could I apply that in my context without me just taking it on? So my invitation is to try it out. Try it out and see.
Yeah, sometimes problems aren't even problems.
Tell me more, because you started out as like you're like I'm a professional problem solver, so I am very interested to see what you mean by that.
Well, okay, so this isn't in my own work, but I went to see a therapist when I was about 32, actually. It was around the start of this, like, when I felt like I stopped banging my head against the wall and finally started, like, the ball started rolling downhill, if you know what I mean. Because for a lot of years, it was like I felt like the answer was just behind a glass wall, barely see through it. It's just on the other side. And I just kept banging my head against this glass wall, waiting for it to shatter and figuring out, like, how can I get it? It literally, that's what it felt like. I'm not even kidding. Like, the answer's right there. I'm just not smart enough right now to figure it out, or I don't have enough context, or I don't have the skills, or I don't have the whatever. Anyways, when I was 32, I went to see a therapist. And I had my kids would have been like 7, 9 and something, 7, 9, 11, something like that at the time. I had a full-time job that was accelerating quite quickly, and I was really passionate about it, loved my job. And I felt like I was failing at everything. Like, I was a terrible mother, and I was not putting enough time into my job that I wanted to put into it. And I wasn't taking care of myself properly, and just like everything, I was like dropping. I felt like I was dropping all of the balls. Do you know what the answer was that I discovered by the end of the 9 months with the therapist?
I would love to know if you don't mind.
Yeah, the answer was, I was the problem. Everyone else was freaking fine. It was not to say that it was all in my head. But it was kind of all in my head. You know what I mean? Like, my kids were fine. They weren't complaining about anything. They were going through normal kid things, I was a good parent, and I was a great employee, and I was getting good feedback at my job. I was the one putting pressure on myself, and I wasn't taking care of myself because I was putting so much effort into those other two buckets that I was sacrificing myself for that, for those things, right? So at the end of the day, taking the foot off the gas in both areas and putting a little bit of the more of the energy back into myself, putting the energy into like learning the stuff that I wanted to learn and grow myself and, get healthier and do the things that I wanted to do and go out with my friends, whatever, right? And be a person. That's what I needed to do. And that's what I discovered by the end of, all of that was I felt a really strong release, like a weight lifting off my shoulders, Like, I'm the problem. And that's okay.
It's cool. It's very interesting having these conversations because, like, part of the way I choose to play is to like not be separate from it, you know? So when you say when you're bringing up these situations, it's taking me to real conversations that I've been having with people, you know, where I've been the subject or where they've been the subject, and like even just sitting there and being like, you know, you're really intelligent. You've lived a lot of life. You get different things, so on and so forth. And still, you're like, it took me 9 months to re recognize that, like, oh wait, all this stuff is actually like, I'm the centerpiece of the whole thing, and everything's actually okay, you know? Like literally right now, as you're doing that. As you're sharing it, all I'm asking myself is, where in my life right now am I creating myself? Am I creating a problem that doesn't necessarily exist? Doesn't mean everything's perfect, but it doesn't mean that it's not getting worked out. It doesn't mean that it's not going to work itself out, or it's just a part of the experience of life. And you know, I should be celebrating the fact that it's happening, as opposed to trying to avoid it or mitigate it or like, you know, chastise myself for like not having seen it come in or all that. You know, like I'm really getting some of that right now. And it's I'm asking myself, yeah, I'll probably keep asking myself. Because there've been a lot of conversations I've had, and the word grace has been showing up. It's like here. And I think that part of what I'm hearing here has been like is one of the pathways to extending grace to yourself. This is my reflection. This is the experience that I'm having based on what you said here. So anything that's coming up from you that you feel like, hey, like you also want to put into this, into our pool of understanding?
I think grace is the most underrated concept. I think that's exactly what we need right now. We all feel, I feel like we're all feeling this like kind of like hurricane of energy, right? Like I'm not an energetic, like I like to think in scientific terms most of the time. You know, I am an empiricist, I'm an agilist, right? But like I can't even help but put it in those terms because that's the feeling. It's like an emotional sense, an intuitive sense that there's forces and patterns happening. There's so many forces and patterns going on right now in the world that we can't even keep up, right? Like we can't keep up, we can't even pin them down. Things are moving extraordinarily fast. And so I think that patience, right? Like patience and grace and like slowing down. Like, how are we slowing down? Not getting like wrapped up in the things that we can't see, like these unseen forces, not extending our senses too far outside of what we can control, but then also recognizing that, like, you know, we're all going through this together and we need to give each other grace and we need to give ourselves grace and just a little more patience than we're giving each other and ourselves.
All right, I'm feeling it. Like, I actually like it's interesting being in conversation with you and also being on like a podcast or recorded conversation, because something like what you just said there, I actually would want to give it space and time. You know, like that's one of those things where I would actually like to take 10 seconds before coming back to the mic. So outline, if you're listening to this, go back, rewind a little bit, hear it, and when Aaron stops talking, hit pause. Give yourself that like gift to let that sink in, because I think there's just something, there's something profound and simple, and both, like when you get deep simple into the mix right there, and that crossover, I think we really like stand to gain so much from it. Aaron, we're gonna start wrapping this part of the conversation down for now, and I want to wrap it up with, I have four questions for you as we end here. The first one is what I'll call like an outsight, right? So is there anything that, like, from anything that you're experienced, anything that happened in this conversation, anything that you'd like to pass on to any outlier that may be listening to this right now?
I think just it feels like it's gonna be okay, you know? Like that's the sense that I have. It is, it's gonna be okay, you know? We're gonna be okay. And I know that, you know, the tendency is to sometimes feel like that's not true, but I have a profound intuition that we're going to be okay.
That feels awesome. It was awesome. I have the three other questions, but this one I have to ask for me, right? So, because I feel like I'm like, oh, I'm with a master of being okay. So the question that comes up here is, intellectual versus heart, right? A part of me intellectually is like, yep, makes sense, and another part of me in the heart is actually not afraid of it, like not afraid of if it can actually be okay. From my experience, I've always landed like I. Like us outliers, we land on our feet. I think the question I would be interested in getting just you to talk about real quick is like, what if being okay is the thing that you're afraid of? And in my case in particular, I think that I am very good at looking at the world as like the glass four quarters full, you know, like that, like just not even half empty, like not even like partially full. I'm like, it's half empty, but it's a full glass, you know, like that's all the water you need. You're whole, you're complete. And so, and like again, these are coming up in real conversations. If you're cool with that, like I like to try and keep things real here rather than just like what I've heard somewhere. Like for me, the experience is like, hey, I'm actually afraid that I'll look at things as being okay because there's still work to get done. And if I think it's okay, maybe I won't do it. Or, you know, like my situation is not great, but if I put on like the rose-colored glasses and tell myself that it's okay, then I'll be living with less than okay for way, way, way too long. And I'm just like kind of like telling myself something and reframing it, quote unquote, without it being true. I asked this one honestly and like and earnestly around it because it's an odd place to be where you believe or like I believe it, or like I acknowledge it. And I want to believe it more. And I'm also afraid of what would happen if I actually allowed myself to say it was okay. Would something, would I miss out or would I lose out on something? I just wondered if there's anything that comes to mind for you when I share that.
I mean, if I were ask, I would like to ask a person, you know,
Yeah.
what
And
does
you can ask me
okay?
directly. You can totally ask me. I'm good with all that stuff. Like it like usually we do this in like a part two, but I'm like I brought it in. So feel free.
Yeah, I would say, well, I mean, this could be a much larger, longer conversation, but I would want to ask, you know, is it possible to be okay right now in the present and also want something more for the future?
I'm shaking my head. Yeah, I get that. Think it's a nice place to, a nice place to at least like peel off of like yeah it opens up enough possibility right now for me. I appreciate that. Yeah, I've been there's so much. It's a cool element of separating. We talked about time. We didn't get into it, but it's a cool element of separating the two, right? And being with both of those at the same time. I think that's it. I think that it's like if I take a present, okay, then that means my future is also doomed without me knowing it, you know? And there's something else in here that just feels like, okay, well, what if you could be present now and know that like future is also going to be handled with whenever future comes.
And I mean, the for me, there is an element of, you know, that professional problem solving that, you know, I trust that whatever comes, I'll be able to handle it and I'll be able to figure it out and that I have the resources. And that is, you know, a coaching stance, right? That we have the resources we need inside of us, whether we know it or not.
Fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. I thank you for that. Like I was like, as you said, I was like, I could let this question slide, but I know that it's on my heart. And my general thing is like, if it's on, there'll come a time when someone brings it up and I will be like removed from it. And I can't remember what it's like to be in the place where like the goal actually is what I'm afraid of, you know? So thank you for also just like being with that question entered into this space here. I love to keep it real. And thank you for being with that. All right, so now you've given an outsight here. I'd like for you now, then, Aaron, to share an insight. What's something that you remembered about yourself? What's something that like came up for you as a result of this conversation that you'd like to put into space? And if nothing came up, that's also fine too. But I like to give space for any kind of insight that you had inside this conversation.
An insight. I'm not, I mean, I think I'm going to stick with my previous answer.
You're gonna love question four because I have a feeling where this might go. Question three, though, if for people who want to go down the journey with you, for people who are, yeah, I think that's it. What's the best way for them to continue down the journey with you?
With me specifically?
Whatever you like to share, like if someone comes here and they listen to this and they're like, I want to stay in your world, I want to work with you, I want to follow you, I want to like work with whatever it is that comes in,
Okay.
just let us know what like how you like us to do that.
Yeah. I mean, my podcast is, I try to put as much free content out as possible. The podcast is one of the things. So I have a podcast called Weirdos in the Workplace. Hopefully you will come on my podcast at some point. Perhaps
Yeah.
this season. So we like to keep it real. It's all about authenticity, transparency, passion, and purpose. Mostly for people who are thinking about becoming business owners or entrepreneurs or entrepreneurs. So that's one way. Obviously, LinkedIn, I have an open profile, so anyone can connect with me on LinkedIn. I love to share resources and ideas with folks. But I mean, yeah, we've got a book club as well. There's a monthly book club. So 10X is Easier Than 2X was one of our book club books from January. So you can go to positivist.ca/book-club for that. But otherwise, just, I mean, keep soul searching. And I think that it's just like knowing that there's something more, that you can go deeper. There's always another layer.
I love that. I love that. And so we're going to end here with a question I ask everyone. It's the time capsule question. And it's the premise of this is this. I'd like for you in this moment, in the here now, to leave a message for you to listen to in the future. All right. So this is from you to you. What's the message that you would leave for yourself right now based on all the wisdom you have that you might want to remind yourself in like 5, 10 years' time?
What do I want to leave myself? What message do I want to leave myself in 5 or 10 years? Everything you said was true.
And there we have it. Thank you so much there, Aaron. I appreciate you. Probably like 12 different ways by the end of this conversation. I appreciate who you be. I appreciate that you bring everything to the table here. And I look forward for Outliers to continue their journey with you and to see where your journey continues to go. Thanks for generating the world that you are. It's been nice being in space, experiencing that with you through this
Thank
conversation.
you.